The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Tonight, this may be a little bit of a stretch for some of you. Is that okay in Minnesota? Is it okay? Is it all right to stretch you? Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you're getting stretched tonight, I promise you. All right? All right. Well, we're going to pray for the sick and everything else. And we want to, if you're a visitor tonight, just raise your hand if you're a visitor. Okay. Wow. Look at all the visitors. Hey, all the visitors. Come on, give them all a big hand. All right. Woo-hoo. So anyone outside of the state of Minnesota or just all from Minnesota? Anyone outside, just raise your hand. Where? Maine? Oh, my word. Wow, that's a long ways away. Bless you guys. Yeah, I think they came the farthest. I'm just going to take a wild guess. So welcome tonight. And praise the Lord. We had a great conference. I thought it was really good. Anyone blessed this week? Was it a blessing to anybody this week? And so praise God. And I was really stirred up. I keep trying to delay. I got to just say it. I had a vision during worship of both you guys. And I had a vision, I never seen like this before. But I saw someone from the cloud of witnesses behind you, Pastor Dave. I saw three of your relatives in heaven cheering you on. And I saw many more, even you. Do you have a lot of family that's gone to be with Jesus? Yeah, I saw a lot more behind you. I saw like about 10 people, right, that really are involved in what you're doing as well. And I saw those three people behind you. I saw one of them had his hand on your shoulder and just saying, come on, keep going. And so, yeah, come on, somebody. Amen. I just can't get away from it. I just keep feeling that in my spirit. I'm like, I got to just share that. So praise the Lord. That's great. So, all right. Well, tonight, I'm going to shock the video guy. Sorry, brother. But let's do that Prophet Corbis video again. But let's start it right before that blonde lady from America. Is that all right? We minister in South Africa. That's how those people came from South Africa here for the conference. They know us from there. In fact, they're in these videos that I'm showing you from our friend who has a revival there. And so, yeah, if you can back it up just a little bit more. And these are just some miracles from a dear friend of ours in a church there. It'll just stir you up tonight to get healed. And so this lady came. She came to the meetings almost 8,000 miles to be healed. She didn't go to sightsee. She went there for 72 hours just to be healed and then to fly home. Her daughter, get this, her daughter is a professional artist for Hollywood. And she draws the storyboards for Hollywood. But she's prophetic. She's actually like a young prophet. And so God gives her all this crazy stuff for Hollywood. And they just don't know what to do with this woman. But you're going to see the daughter in a minute. But the daughter went and took all of her savings to fly her Baptist mom and dad there for 3 days just to be healed because she had a broken back that could not be fixed. And so watch these few miracles. I think you'll really be blessed. Watch this. This is freaking this woman out.
In the name of the Lord Jesus, no more weakness, no more pain, no more difficulty, no more, no more. Perfected. Awesome. Come. States of America with a broken back just to be here tonight. Flew all the way to be in this meeting, flying back on Monday. 2 days in South Africa, but to be in this meeting tonight with a broken back. There she's healed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. How is she feeling? Something good? Do you think something happened, brother?
What? I don't know what to say. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to thank my family. And my husband. Is that enough?
It's awesome. It's awesome.
I can't believe it. You just can't believe this. This has been going on for 2 years.
Two years, never a second without pain. Never a second without pain. And now?
It doesn't hurt. I was rubbing my legs thinking, when is this thing going to be over? They were hurting. I was going to leave shortly because I didn't think I was going to make it.
She thought she's not going to make the meeting because of the pain. Paula, thank you. Bless you. Let it never come back. I seal you now with the spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ. Perfected by grace. Covered by his blood. Just for you. That's why he died. Just for you. Hand in the eye. You struggle to walk? Have you got pain and stuff?
Yes, when I'm trying to walk, my left hip and
accident. She had a car accident and she's blind in the one eye. Her eye is concaved in and broken. And watch her get healed right in front of your eyes. She can't walk.
Can you see me? Can you see me? Yeah.
Yes, I can see you.
In the name of the Lord Jesus, walk towards me. No pain, no weakness. Come. Come, walk. All pain will go, all weakness will go. God will heal your hip socket. God will heal your leg. In the name of the Lord Jesus, strength is coming into your body. God's going to heal that eye as well. Strength, strength. All pain and weakness go.
All just turn it up a little bit, guys.
Go. Free. I set you free. I make you well in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Why are you crying?
I'm happy.
Are you happy? That thing will go down, my sister. In the name of the Lord Jesus, a few days, that thing will just disappear. But right now, you can walk. Come. Go. Come on, God is good. Jesus' name. Come on. Now that's a lady that couldn't walk because of a car accident, hip socket and stuff damage. So say thank you, Jesus. Look at that eye. For those who didn't see, the one eye was just a big lump, blind, and everything was damaged. And I prophesied, I said, a few days and the thing will be fine. And now,
and with my hip and my spinal cord, it was now 6 months. I couldn't walk properly. I felt a lot of pains. Yeah, because the accident happened last year, October the 9th. The eye, it started on Friday last week. And I was hospitalized up until the other Friday. And Saturday I was here to receive my healing.
Bless you. Mm-hmm. rounds for chemo, dying with cancer, can't move.
You can see this miracle right in front of your eyes. Watch very closely. She's laying there dying.
Come. You're going to get up out of that bed of sickness. Third chemotherapy, very weak. I set you free right now. Okay, just put your hand on her stomach, Annalise. Put your hand, Quivers, you too. Just put your hand on her stomach. All cancer, weakness, go. Perfected by grace. Just walk. Just walk. Did you see her face? Son of David, have mercy. Tell us what happened. It's a dying woman. You must go read the reports. The report is lying by the beds. You must read the reports. It's no gimmicks, people. This is serious stuff. Dying with cancer. Too much. Thank you, my Father. God is good. Up straight. What happened to you?
Actually, I had an accident about a month ago on the 12th of July.
Sure.
So I had a spine fracture that the doctor said that it would take me about 3 months for me to heal.
So you got a lot of pain?
Yes, I've got a lot of pain. I can't sleep because of this.
Yeah. And your neck and your back sore.
Yes.
Would you like to be healed before we start the meeting? Why don't you just walk out into the aisle, sir? I mean, you don't have to sit with a lot of... Where are you from?
I'm from Nelspruit.
Nelspruit?
Yes.
Nelspruit. Nelspruit.
Because he said because of diabetic.
You're also diabetic?
Yes. So it's going to take time to be healed.
That's what the doctor says.
Yes.
But that's not what the Bible says.
Yes.
I ask that all pain will get out of your body, that the fracture in your back will be healed right now, the damage in your neck will just go away, and that you will be perfected by God's grace. So that you can enjoy this meeting. Look at me, sir. I bring you healing tonight. All the pain will go. And now?
Yes, I'm all right.
Where's the pain?
I don't feel anything.
You don't feel anything. You take that thing off.
I don't have the spanners to take this out because
and you need spanners to take it off.
Yes, I don't know.
My goodness.
Because they
touch Allen keys is what he means, yeah.
Take this whole thing out.
Oh my goodness. When will they take it off?
I don't know. They'll have to arrange for some spanners because this is Allen keys. I don't have Allen keys.
We have Allen keys.
Yes, can take it off. We've got Allen keys, yes.
Can we take it off?
Yes.
The pain is gone.
No, I'm all right now.
You're fine.
Yes.
Can we have Allen keys?
This is on live television.
Are you with him? Is that the wife? Come check him out. Find out if he's all right.
Are you okay?
Where's the doctors in the house? Oh Lord, let the medical board don't see me now. All pain, no pain, sir. No pain, no pain, no pain, no pain, no pain. In the, you feel no pain?
Yeah, I don't.
You feel no pain, okay. I don't know how, is there any doctor here that knows how this terrible thing works? I mean, you can believe in the rapture with this thing around your neck. My goodness, man. This thing will take you to space, never mind to heaven.
And prophet prayed for you.
No, actually, you know what I expressed? I told myself that God is going to heal me because, you know, I'm always believing God, you understand? And God showed me that there's something that God wants me to give me something, because the way the accident happened, many people couldn't believe that I'm out from that car. You see, even the policemen that they attend the scene, they couldn't believe it, that no. So I told myself that no, God has given me a chance.
Look at this. Look at all this stuff. Look at all this stuff. This man came here. I got on the behind the pulpit to greet the people, and I saw this man with all this stuff around his head. I thought they're making a space movie, and I just felt in my heart, God said, "You're gonna see miracles before you start the meeting." Is that as far? Is it painful?
It's painful.
The Lord Jesus Christ is the healer, my sister. So tonight, I loose you from the sickness of meningitis, from this uncontrollable muscles and joints. I command this arm to be loosed to work. Come on. The smile says it all. Come on. The smile says it all. Take off that thing. Take off the brace. Take it off. You are healed by the name and the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. All pain and weakness gone. My sister dear, move that arm right up from the front. Move it right up, right down, up and down, and up and down, and up. Be blessed. Thank you, Jesus. You like pain to go, to walk without a crutch? So this crutch, say goodbye, crutch.
Goodbye, crutch.
I can walk without you.
I can walk without you.
All pain.
All pain,
swelling,
and weakness,
is leaving my body. I'm healed.
In Jesus' name.
Is it nice? Huh?
I'm so happy. I don't know what to say.
I'm happy. The pain gone?
Thank you.
Come on, somebody shout the praises of our God.
Come on, give Jesus a big hand clap. Yeah, praise God.
All pain and
this woman's dying of AIDS. Watch this one.
Weakness to go. Let it test negative and let her life show it right now. All weakness, all symptoms go. All pain leave in Jesus' name. I set you free. And now?
I'm free.
What happened?
I'm free.
Huh?
I'm free.
You're free.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
What did you feel happening to you?
Thank you, God.
What was wrong? What did you feel?
I'm free.
Did you have pain?
No pain.
But before I touched you?
Many pains.
Many pains. And now?
Yes. No pains.
No pains.
Yes. Come on. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap. Amen. You can pause it. Thanks, guys.
Otherwise, we'll put whites on.
I pray that bless anyone tonight. Is that okay? Yeah. You want to see this one too? Okay, this guy here was in a car accident, yeah. And it's about that's 6 inches different. Oh, not six, about four.
Jesus is healing you.
This is funny.
What's happening? Come on, not doing anything.
I fell.
You fell?
Yes, and fell and broke my spine. And pins were inserted inside.
And pins were inserted inside?
Yes, they're still inside even now.
The pins are still inside. You saw how short that one leg was.
Awesome.
You see how he struggled to sit? You saw him when he got up, starting doing his own workout, yeah.
He was doing the workout. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap. All right. No, this one is probably my most favorite. Now watch it. You'll see it right in front of your eyes. This woman, I forget, she's got some kind of disease and her whole body is so twisted she can't stand straight. But you'll see her straighten out right in front of your eyes. Watch this. One more.
From 2000.
Yeah.
You helped her in here tonight.
Yes.
Lady, you understand English? You don't understand.
Yes.
Okay. Jesus is gonna. Yeah. I see. From the waist down.
To go down.
To down. Paralyzed. Can't walk. Can't walk. So in the name of Jesus, I command all weakness, all pain to go. I command you to be healed, to be able to walk again, and to be well. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of His blood. Thank you, my Father. Come, dear lady. Come. They open it. Lady, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. All pain, all weakness since 2000, it's going now. So in the name of the Lord Jesus, let it go. Come, let's walk. In Jesus' name. That's 5 years. 5 years of paralysis carried in a lot of pain. Did you see that first few steps? Did you see that first few steps? How crooked she was, like a question mark, and how she just got straightened. Driving 100. The Lord Jesus Christ.
You could see this one later, all right? This guy's raised from the dead, and he's died in the church. He's dead. But we could keep going and going and going. So, all right. So if you want it, you can get it on the book table. So bless you. All right. So did that bless anyone tonight? Is that right? Amen. Brother EJ, good to see you, my friend. Come on up. Come on up to the front. Bless you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Good to see everybody here tonight, and praise God. And I kind of already ruined the direction I was going, so so we have no idea where God's going with this tonight. So, but I'm just going to just follow my heart. Is that okay? And I'm very unorthodox, so forgive me for that. Just give me grace. Pray for me. But forgive me. I won't embarrass you, but what's wrong? What happened? Yeah, car accident. Yeah, you have a lot of pain tonight? Yeah, come on up here. Come on up. I had a an accident that I shared the other day that I almost broke my neck. It wasn't a break, but it was a severe sprain. Did you break it or what happened? Come. Yeah, hi, Tom. What happened? What's wrong?
It's broken. And I've fractured in a few places.
Yeah. Does it hurt a little bit tonight or is it just?
There's a little pain. It's actually, I feel like God has already started believing that.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw you sitting back there. It looked like you were in some discomfort and stuff, and so, yeah.
But it's also, has affected my whole right arm, and there's weakness.
Like numbness, and yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of numbness. So, kind of...
we're going to get you healed now. Yeah, so in the name of Jesus, all pain go. Bones be healed. Numbness go in Jesus' name. Just trust me. Can you take it off? Is that doable? Yeah? All right, let's take it off. Let's see what God's doing. Yeah. Yeah. I won't hurt you, I promise. Yeah. Just like this. Just gently move it. Say it again. Wow. She said, wow. Come on, somebody. Come on, do it like that. Just do a little bit more, just by faith. So all the rest of the pressure and pain, we command it to go. In the name of Jesus, try it now. Better? A lot better? No pressure? Try to turn towards EJ right there, see? No, without turning your body. Just, yeah, trust me. Yeah, that's all right. A little better, a lot? Really? For how long? Couple months. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a hand. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You remember the girl, the young African-American girl that was in my video that had the neck brace that she was screaming and whipping it all over? That was at the beginning of the service. So when I came in and I was going to start the service, I looked out and I see her with the neck brace. And I remember the girl from Florida, the exact same thing. And I'm like, wow. You know, we were once in Springfield, Ohio. And this is a great church, okay? I'm not just blowing smoke, as they say, blowing smoke up your skirt. I'm telling you right now, okay? So I don't know if it's appropriate to say that, but I just have heard it, so so forgive me. But I'm serious. This is a very, very good church. You have to understand, we're in probably 5 good churches a year out of 60 churches, okay? So and so it's easy to preach here. You have to understand, this is like cutting butter with a hot knife, okay? So this is very simple, you know? But if, Susie said to me yesterday, she goes, wow, feels kind of funny not fighting. I said, yeah, we're going the same direction, you know. But we were in this church in Springfield, Ohio, and I was given the microphone and had all these stipulations. And God said to me, he said, the people won't believe anything you say unless you start with a miracle. And I said, okay, like any ideas? I mean, that's kind of broad, you know what I mean? I mean, like, you know, any ideas? And so I went and the Lord didn't say anything. And so I said, there's a young man. Since he didn't say anything, I just picked one. I said, I saw a young man in the bathroom. I said, where's the young man I saw on the toilet? And then everyone starts laughing, you know what I mean, when I said that, because it kind of came out funny. And I said, you have a full back brace on. Now it went from laughing to serious. Because it was an 18-year-old boy that had been in a football injury and broke his spine in 4 places. And the church had taken up offerings, hundreds of thousands of dollars raised for this boy. And I saw him in the restroom before the service. So I said, come down to the front, and same thing as her, and, you know, and I just put my hand on him, and I just prayed a very simple prayer. I said, okay, let's see what God's doing. And so he started to take it off. I mean, everybody went into emergency tongues. The worship team ran up, and because God only heals with worship, you know, for sure. And so And so I just said, no, just everyone stay down. Let's just see what God's doing. And so sure enough, this kid was totally instantaneously healed. His spine was fused and instantly healed. Come on, somebody. I'll tell you another story here in Minnesota, in Wilmer, Minnesota. This is the pastor I'm going to tell you the story from. In 2003, we ministered at his church in Wilmer. And in 2003, we started the service. You may remember this. And I said, I got the weirdest word of knowledge. I said, there's a girl here, and you have an infected tongue. You remember that? Yeah. And a girl screamed in the back of the church, and she had gotten her tongue pierced, and her tongue began to get infected, and it had swollen to 3 times its normal size. And they had taken her to the emergency room and stuff, and she was on antibiotics, and it wasn't helping. And she was sitting there crying. And so I didn't know it, of course. And so she comes down to the front, and I ministered to her, and she was instantly healed. The tongue went down. The hole began to close in the service. Come on, somebody. Amen. Come on, give God a big hand. Amen. So, praise God. God is good. Okay, I want to do this. Could you help me one more time? If you were not here this weekend and you didn't know this, we have another website called ministrytraininginstitute.com. Would you help me, young man? Give like one per couple, if you would, all right? And we want to bless you with a free Bible course called Signs, Wonders, and Miracles. And if you go to the website and you type in a coupon code, HEALINGMN, all in capital letters, HEALING, MN, you can have that course for free. It's a $100 course, and it's only good this weekend, okay? So if you want that, Curry's one of the teachers, myself, Corvus is one of the teachers in the video, others as well. So you can have that. Just go to ministrytraininginstitute.com, and then you just type, it'll ask if you have a coupon code, and you just type in all capital letters, HEALING, MN, and you can have it for free. So we just want to bless you, no strings attached. Well, just in the next couple of days, probably, but in the next couple of days. Don't wait for like 6 months, because it'll evaporate. It won't be around. So probably by Wednesday morning, it'll be gone. So, but if you want that course, you can have it. Thank you, my sis. Bless you. All right. Well, I'll just show you this while they're handing that out. If you've not been here, I'll just share this with you. We've got our brand new book. Thank you, Pastor. We have our brand new book, How to Hear God's Voice, very, very popular series that we've done on helping train people hearing God's voice. Also, we did a CD series called The Supernatural Life with Jason Chin. Do you guys know Jason Chin from Bethel? He's the one who had the revival at Disneyland. How many of you ever heard of the Disneyland revival? Anyone ever hear of that? Okay, he's one of my dearest friends. And we did a big conference with him last year in Fort Lauderdale. And it was called The Supernatural Life. And I think there's about 8 sessions. And so you can get this in the back. Who wants this one? I'll just bless someone tonight. And so, Pastor, give it to somebody really wild, will you? So give it to someone wild. you got it. Cool. Awesome. Bless you guys. These are our friends from Burnsville. Lakeville, actually. But we've also got a thumb drive out there with 128 gigabytes worth of material, about 20 worship albums, about 12 conferences, all kinds of e-books, and our entire video Bible school is on there as well. So you can get that as well. Let's do this. Ushers, if you guys are ready, just come on down to the front so you could help us. But tonight, if you want to just make out an offering to help us, and then I'm just going to share God's word, and we're going to pray for people. But if you want to make, if you need an offering envelope, trying to get this out, if you need an offering envelope, just wave these good-looking guys down, will you? If you need an offering envelope, just raise your hand real high. If you make out a check, just make it to our ministry, to TSM. T as in Tom, S as in Scarella, M as in Mary, TSM. Or if you want to use your bank card, I never bring my checkbook. I'm a Minnesotan, but I don't bring my checkbook. Do I still count? You know, so. Forgive me, all you Packer fans. Hey, Viking fans, can you believe we won today? Hey, was that a good game? I'm glad. Wow, I was shocked. I was like, wow, the defending. Yeah, I know, the defending NFC champs. So, all right. Well, make out a check, make it a TSM. Praise God. We'll just give you a second to put your offering together. All right, so if you're ready to give, just hold your offering up to the Lord. Father, today in the name of Jesus, we thank you. You're a good God. You're a God who loves miracles because they're normal in your kingdom. And so, Lord, even now today, we just pray a miracle on this offering tonight because miracles are normal to you. And so, Lord, we hold it up to heaven and we say, Lord, would you multiply it even this week? Let it be multiplied. We just prophesy over it now that it be multiplied this week back to us in money, favor, things, and deals in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You can go ahead and serve the people. All right. Well, if you got your Bibles here, go to the book of Ezekiel 47. This is our last night with you, so pray for us. Next week we go to minister in Toronto. We'll be ministering in Toronto. We're doing a Hearing God's Voice conference. And then we go to Appleton, Wisconsin. And then from there, then we come back. And let me just drop this on you, just so you know. Everyone, please hear me. In 3.5 weeks, we're doing a prophetic school with a prophet from Zimbabwe. And he's coming here to America only for 10 days. And so he's only going to be here 10 days. He's the most accurate prophet I've ever witnessed. How many of you know who Sean Boltz is? Anyone know Sean Boltz? Okay. Very similar, but even more accurate, wouldn't you say? You've known them both as well. I mean, it's scary, prophetic, scary, accurate, like I've never personally witnessed. And actually, there's only one other person, Prophet Angel is probably the only other one that I've ever seen so accurate. And I mean, he'll tell somebody, we were in a service one time where he told someone to take out any credit card or any bank card in their wallet, and he took it out, and he said, here's your PIN number, and he told them their PIN number right there in front of everyone. They go, great, now I got to change my PIN number. Thank you very much. So, but yeah, he was given phone numbers and social security numbers and crazy stuff. So if you're interested, you just go to our website, sharethefire.org, and we're going to be in Edina, in Eden Prairie, down in Owatonna, also in Burnsville. We'll be in Burnsville for a couple of days, and as well as we're going to be on St. Cloud State with EJ up here. So, and then he goes to California for a couple of days. Now listen, he was invited by Dr. Rodney Howard Brown to be in Tampa, Florida, but he said God spoke to him. He's supposed to be in Minnesota. So I encourage you, don't miss those meetings. He's only here those days. And so, yeah, it's going to be powerful. Okay, Ezekiel 47. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple. And there was water flowing under the threshold of the temple toward the east, toward the front of the temple that faced east. And water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And he brought me by the way at the north gate and led me around the outer side of the outer gate that faces east. And there was water running on the right side. Everyone say there was water flowing. That's a picture of the move of the Spirit, right? Then it goes on to say, and the man that went out of the east went with a line in his hand, and he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters came up to my ankles. And again, he measured 1,000. He brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my, what? Knees, right? And again, notice how many times he says again. About 5 times he says again. Again, he measured 1,000. He brought me to the water up to my waist. And again, he measured 1,000. And it was a river that I could not cross. The water was too deep. Water in which one must swim. A river that could not be crossed. And he said, son of man, have you seen this? And he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And I returned there along the bank of the river. And there are very many trees. Trees represent people. Trees on this side and on the other. And this is water that flows toward the eastern region that goes down into the valley and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes shall live, and a very great multitude of fish, because where the waters go there, they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. Now, can I bug you guys one last time for that board? Is that all right? I'm sorry. I should have said it before. I remembered it before. Okay. So here he begins to speak about the river of God, the flowing of the river. He begins to speak not only about the flowing of the river, but he also begins to speak about there was a man who measured 1,000. Who is the man, anybody? Do you know who that man could be? Raise your hand. Say his name. Jesus. Jesus Christ was measuring out. And so Jesus began to measure out. And he started off at the what? Ankles. Then he went to the knees. Then he went to the waist. Then he went to what? A river that he could not even cross over. Now, let me just say it to you like this, is that if you ever go on the river, now my grandparents used to live down on the St. Croix. How many of you ever been on the St. Croix? Ever been down there? Okay. So they used to live down off of the St. Croix, and they lived in the city Lakeland, Minnesota, which is on the Minnesota side. Hudson's on the other side. And I remember growing up down there, and that river's so powerful, and I remember playing out there as a kid. When you walk on out to the ankles, you're still in control. Come on, right? But when you walk out to the knees, you start to lose control because you're getting out there a little bit deeper water, and you can feel the pull of the current, and the river begins to dictate where you go. You don't dictate. Come on, right? But when you walk on out to the waist, now all of a sudden you're almost out of control, right? Listen, ankle-deep water is a great picture of the born-again experience. Many people have been born again. Many churches in Elk River, people are born again, genuinely love Jesus, but they're still very much in control. But then the Holy Spirit begins to get them to measure out again. Come on, right? And he says, let's measure out again according to Hebrews chapter 6. And he talks about this very exact same thing. And then he begins to say this. It says, partakers of the Holy Spirit. So up to the knees would be someone that's baptized in the Holy Spirit. Once you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, I mean, after you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you begin to say, oh, man, that was easy. What happened? You begin to realize as soon as I let go of control, it was easy and it flowed. Come on, is that true? Right? And then you begin to go on from there out to the waist, which is the moving of the gifts of the Spirit. And as soon as you begin to go there, you say, oh, wow, the first time I did it, it was hard. You know? But then it became easier than, you know, after that. I heard one pastor of a vineyard church here in the Twin Cities actually went and said this. He said, the gifts of the Spirit are much like when you buy a jar of olives. How many of you ever bought a jar of olives, right? Man, to get that first little guy out, man, it's tough, isn't it? Come on, right? I mean, he's in there, isn't it, right? But once you get that first little guy out, man, the rest of them, they all just come out, don't they? And it's the same thing is true with the gifts of the Spirit. Once you get the first one flowing, come on, right? Then there becomes a river. It begins to flow easier as soon as you yield to the first one. Come on, right? And so what is God's goal? God's goal is that you would lose control. Look at your neighbor and say, would you please lose control? That's God's goal for you, right? Now, some people think that you have to preach on healing in order to have healing take place, but that's not true, because if that was the case, then Jesus would have had no miracles, because Jesus never preached a healing sermon in his life. Come on, right? I mean, we've preached on all kinds of different things. I remember one time preaching, you know, I was preaching on hell one time, and I had people getting healed in the service and stuff, and I'm like, do you know what I just preached on? You know, I mean, that's kind of crazy, you know. And so so it's not a matter of what we preach on. It's a matter of what's on the inside of us, and the kingdom is on the inside of us. And we don't have to wait for God to manifest it. All we have to do is just yield to it, and the greater you yield, the greater the river flows. Come on, right? That's why I wanted you to see with your own eyes how easy, how simple those miracles were in front of your eyes. Come on, somebody. Amen. I mean, many people say, wow, it was effortless. You know, I've gone to some churches, and when they pray for the sick, man, they're straining so hard. I mean, they look like they're constipated, really. And they just need, you know, a good fiber pill or something. I mean, I just say, wow, brother, you're going to blow something if you squeeze any harder, you know? Something's going to blow here if you just squeeze a little bit harder. And so, but really, miracles are not meant to be something that we have to squeeze out. Come on, somebody. But miracles are something that ought to just flow out. Is that okay to say? Come on. I already did. Sorry, Pastor Bob. Let's just delete that message, brother. Just delete it. I didn't preach it. Just put on there, Pastor Bob preached this message. Will you just put Pastor Bob? Just put his name on. Hallelujah. Oh, sorry, Pastor. I'm sorry. Don't blame these guys, all right? So blame me, all right? He said constipated in church. Yeah, I did. They didn't say it. I said it, all right? So, but it's funny, and at the same time, it's sad because, you know, some people think that that's how the kingdom operates, is by their physical energy, and it's really not. It's by just learning to yield. And the greater you yield, the greater the miraculous flows. Come on, right? And, my friend Corbis, he one time, he said, he told me, he said, he got into a fight with his wife right before church one day. I know none of you have ever gotten in a fight with anybody ever before church, you know. But he said, we got into a fight, a tiff, you know. He said, I walked into the church and I was in a rotten mood. And he said, I was so upset and angry, he said, I kicked the toilet. And when he kicked the toilet, he broke his toe. And he said, I walked into church, I'm in a rotten mood, and worship is going, I'm not wanting to be there and everything else. And in that moment, he said, as an act of my will to renew his own mind, he said, I ought to be still able to do a miracle right now. And he went to a woman who had been in a wheelchair for 20 years, had never moved her legs, and pulled her out, and she walked out of the wheelchair totally healed. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Amen. So it just goes to show you that it's just a flow of the river of God. And the greater we learn to yield, the greater we connect with the Spirit, the greater we connect. And so that's how all the move of the Spirit, or the demonstration of the Spirit, is. Whether it's tongues, whether it's prophecy, whether it's miracles. Come on, somebody, right? So no matter whatever it is, whether it's evangelism, no matter what it is, whether it's prayer, it's just that you have learned to yield. Right? And so you've learned to yield to it, and you've realized the greater you yield, the easier it becomes. Instead of the greater you strain, it's actually the greater you yield. And because that's how the whole kingdom operates, is that way. And so that's the measuring out of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to give you a scripture that I didn't catch it quite at first until I read it the other day when I was preaching on Thursday. But go over to John chapter 3. So to go to John 3, I'm not going to read a lot tonight because I want to pray for people. John, the third chapter. So John chapter 3, are you ready for this? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. In other words, he was embarrassed. He didn't want anyone to see him. So he came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs or these miracles that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answering said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again. Now, some of you, your Bibles will have marks next to the word born again. The word born again is actually a poor translation from Greek to English. It's literal translation. If you look it up in any concordance or anything, it's always born from above. Come on, right? Unless you are born from above, he goes on to say this. He says, Unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Moffat's translation says it like this. Unless one is born from above, you cannot see God's realm. Come on, right? You can't see God's realm. I'm going to talk a little about that tonight. So he says, listen, you can't see God's realm unless you're born from above. And then he goes on to say, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born? Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom. But that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born from above. Right? The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell from where it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said, are you a teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things? And he was a rabbi, and he said, you don't know these things? And Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know, we testify what we've seen, and you do not receive our witness. And I have told you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things or God's realm? How will you believe if I tell you about God's realm? Come on, right? So he says, no one has ascended to heaven but the Son, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Okay, leave that right there. No one ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is what? In heaven. He doesn't say going to heaven. He says, I'm there now. Pause, Selah. In other words, he had one foot in this realm and one foot in that realm. He was straddling two worlds. And as he was straddling heaven, he was straddling earth, you know. If you go over to Matthew chapter 6, Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? The whole thing. But earlier he says, our Father who is in heaven, or is, which should say it like this, who is in God's realm. The Greek word is this. It's actually the Greek word Uranus. Uranus, all right? Uranus. So he begins to talk about Uranus. Then he begins to say this. He says, our Father who art in Uranus, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. From where? From Uranus. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? So in other words, this whole thing, it actually, here's what Uranus means. It actually means God's realm. It means the eternal realm of God. Or it means God's dwelling place. Look over in Isaiah 66. I'm going to give you several things. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Now, this same verse is actually quoted in Acts chapter 7. But in Isaiah 66, the first verse, watch this. In Isaiah 66, it says it like this. Heaven is my throne. He doesn't say my throne is in heaven. But he says, heaven is my throne. And earth is my footstool. Where's the house that you'll build for me and where's the place of my rest, right? So in other words, God doesn't say I have a throne in heaven. He said, no, heaven is my throne. I sit on heaven, the realm of heaven itself. God says, I'm bigger than even the realm for myself. Come on, amen. Acts chapter 7 quotes the exact same verse, verbatim. It quotes this exactly the same when Stephen is quoting it. So he begins to speak about this Uranus, this eternal realm, this God's dwelling place, this God's realm, this whole thing here. And so we see it several different times in the scriptures. But now go over to your right. First go to your left. Go to Psalms 103. Is this okay tonight? Is this all right? So we're just going to kind of go into some little bit deeper stuff here, but that's good. So Psalms 103. So Psalms 103, verse 19 says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, or another version says on heaven. The Lord has established his throne on heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Come on, right? Every time God speaks about his throne, he speaks about ruling, ruling, ruling. He speaks about heaven. He always speaks about ruling, ruling. Just like what Curry was talking about all week, there was a ruling. As soon as he spoke, as soon as God ever spoke about heaven or the kingdom, he always exercised and demonstrated it. Come on. He exercised it in signs and wonders and miracles, right? He exercised it in that move of the Holy Spirit. So here he begins to talk about my throne. So the Bible says this over in Hebrews chapter 4. Go over to Hebrews chapter 4. See, this is real, because you're kingdom people, this is easy preaching. This is easy. I mean, it's almost too easy. It's like, I'm waiting for some kind of opposition out there. This is very strange for me, so it feels good though. But so Hebrews chapter 4. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, this is what it says, verse 14. Now, watch this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne, there it is again, of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, if you don't know this, in the Old Testament, the word find grace or found grace is mentioned 6 times. Noah was the first one to find grace. I think David was the second one. And 6 times he says, and this one found grace, and this one found grace, and this one found grace. 6 times, which is the number of man. But the 7th time it says that they found grace, it was the church. That's where you go, whoa, I take it. Okay, I just had to help you there for a second, all right? So 6 times in the Old Testament, he speaks to various different men and women of God. This one found grace, this one found grace, this one found grace. Now in the New Testament, he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, come on, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So let me explain it like this. You find grace for yourself, but you obtain mercy for somebody else. So in other words, you find grace for you, but you obtain mercy to give away to somebody else. Come on, right? Because mercy is undeserved. Mercy is a total, they deserve judgment, but you're grabbing a hold of mercy to give away to somebody else. From where? From the heavenly realm. From the heavenly realm, you're going to the place called the throne of grace. This is a terrible drawing. But from the throne of grace, you go there, and you go there with boldness. Not by your merit, not by what you gave, not by what you do in the church. Come on. Not by lighting candles, but boldly by the blood of Jesus. And as you go there by the blood of Jesus, come on, right? What do you do? You're going to find grace, number one, for yourself. But number two, the second thing you're going to do is you're going to obtain mercy. Why? Because you're going to give that away to somebody else. Let me show it to you like this. If you can look up here and see this. Let me use a different color. In Israel right now, you have the Sea of Galilee. And then it goes down to the Dead Sea. True? Jordan River connects the two. Now watch this. In the time of Jesus, everybody, all the homes, everybody lived around the Sea of Galilee. Why? Because it was alive. The Sea of Galilee is full of fish. Okay? So everybody would live around there. Nobody lived around here. Why? Because the Dead Sea is dead. Now, why is it dead? Now, watch this. Are you ready? It has an inlet from the Sea of Galilee, but it has no outlets. Because it has no outlets, fish die in it. So you may have an inlet. Oh, Lord, I just come to receive. I just come to receive. I just come to receive. I just need to be filled. I just need to soak. I just need another word. I just need another healing. I just need another touch from God. You're going to become like the Dead Sea. Because if it doesn't come out of you, it'll die in you. Come on, right? And that's why we go to that heavenly realm, and we find grace and we obtain mercy. So we grab a hold of mercy so that we may give it away and bless somebody else. Let me just shock you a little bit. When the Bible talks about, I was going to share this in the conference, milk and meat. All right? Milk is given to babies, and meat is given to mature people, right? Okay. All right, let me explain it to you like this. Meat is not something you receive. Pastor Dave, I want to hear something deep. I want the meat of the word. I don't want the milk. Meat is not something you hear. Meat is what you do with what you did hear. So I'll explain it like this. So when Pastor Bob or Pastor Dave or myself comes with a word, boom, the word is given. We're giving you milk. You're filling up on milk. Now you walk out of this place and you begin to appropriate it. And when you do, the milk that's in you becomes meat as you do it. Come on, somebody. Where is that in the word? Glad you ask. Jesus said in John, he said it like this. My meat is to do the will of him who sent me. Come on, somebody. He didn't say my meat is to hear a really incredible story about whatever. Come on, somebody. Amen. So meat is not something you hear. Meat is something you do. So spiritual growth doesn't happen what you hear. Spiritual growth happens what you do. So you can be in thousands of conferences and services and laid hands on and 1,100 fire tunnels you ran through, and you never grew spiritually. You didn't grow spiritually until you appropriate outside of the building. Come on, somebody, help me here tonight. That's where spiritual growth takes place. Because you have the four gospels, and then you have the book of... notice it's not the book of, soaking. Notice it's not the book of meditation. Notice it's not the book of receiving. It's the book of what? So every page of 28 chapters is not of receiving, it's of doing. But we have twisted it and we've perverted it and switched around and says it's most important that I receive. Are you ready for a shocker? I told Curry to share this last night and he didn't, but I'll just share it to you right now. Every one of you in this building know more Bible than the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, and the majority of the disciples. They couldn't turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Come on, right? They couldn't go to 1 Corinthians 15. Come on, right? They couldn't go to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. It wasn't even written yet. Come on, somebody. So every one of you in this building, you already have more knowledge than all of those guys and gals in the Bible. So it's not what you're hearing. It's God is saying, listen, growth doesn't happen in these four walls. The milk is given, but it will either just rot on the inside of you or it will become meat as you do it. Come on, amen. So as you just go practice it and you hear a word, Pastor Bob comes with a word and you're like, man, I don't want to have to do that, Lord. He's talking about reaching out to my neighbor and, or something like that. Pastor Dave or Susie is saying, let's practice prophecy in the marketplace. Let's start practicing. And you're like, oh God, I hope it does. I hope I don't have to do that, And come on, right? You're in school or whatever it might be. And you say, oh God, please don't let me have to do this, I just want to hear more. And God says, listen, you don't get the meat. It doesn't become meat till you begin to do it. And that's otherwise what happens is you become like that Dead Sea. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's where you have to appropriate it. You have to step into that place of the heavenly realm. Yes, praise God, obtain mercy. Go for it. Find grace, obtain mercy. Why? So that you can give it away to somebody else. Thank God for that heavenly realm. I mean, I remember the first time that I experienced it. Let me get my dates right. 1988, I was an associate pastor in New Jersey. And 1988 was really a phenomenal experience I had with the Holy Spirit. How many of you remember a guy by the name of Phil Driscoll? Remember him, the trumpet player? Well, I went and I was a pastor in southern New Jersey. And so I took my church. We loaded up in a church van. And I said, we're going to go see Phil Driscoll tonight in Wilmington, Delaware. So I took him over to Wilmington about 45 minutes away. And so we get there and Phil was doing worship. And so this is 1988, okay? This is way before Hillsong and Jesus Culture and all the good worship today. Phil was pretty much almost it, you know? So Phil is doing this. It's a great conference and a great worship time for about 3 hours. And so I brought a young believer with me. His name was Andy. And so he had just been saved about a week, you know? And so as we're worshiping the Lord, Phil does his most famous song of all. I believe God's going to let him do it in heaven. The song, I Exalt Thee. That old song, I Exalt Thee. When he did that song, I thought the building was going to implode. And you could, you could tangibly just touch the presence and power of God in the atmosphere. You could feel it in the air. And when, the more he began to play and sing it, I got caught up into a vision. It never happened to me before. And so my whole body started to shake. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the church, a cloud appeared. I don't mean like just in my mind's eye. I saw a cloud appear. And Jesus Christ walked out of the cloud and walked up to me in the service. And it wasn't like I began to cry. It was like my eyes, like faucets were turned on. And just water ran down my face. And I was just shaking uncontrollably, and I was drunk in the Spirit. I didn't even know what that was. This is 1988. Nobody was getting drunk in the Spirit, you know? If they were, I mean, it was rare, you understand? So here my whole body is shaking under God's power as the Lord is just touching me there, and I am partaking of that heavenly realm. And I'm speaking in tongues, and Andy is next to me, this young believer. He's like, Tom, get a hold of yourself. What's wrong with you? You know, and he's trying to shake me out of it, and I'm blasted. I'm gone. I'm like, I don't want to come back. I'm gone to that other side. And Jesus spoke to me some personal stuff, and then he went back into the cloud as quickly as he appeared. And there I was. I was just slain in the Spirit. And, you know, here I had driven the whole church bus there, and I couldn't drive home. I couldn't even speak in English till the next day. They had to take me home, and so they had to take me home and put me to bed, and I was just speaking in tongues. I couldn't even speak in English for hours. Come on, somebody. I was just so caught up in this realm of God. And again and again and again, I would have these experiences with this realm of God. And I don't know why, but I just felt like the Lord wanted me to share a little bit about that tonight. And so just, I remember in 2008, we were ministering right outside of Detroit in Canada. And as we were ministering there, we just got done with a set of meetings, revival meetings at this church. And as we did, I had finished these meetings, and so we were in the hotel that night, and I have this dream, okay? Now, I have a lot of prophetic dreams. How many dreamers do we have? You dream a lot. Raise your hand. Okay, raise your hand real high. Let me see. Wow, lots of dreamers. Okay. So I have this prophetic dream, the most amazing prophetic dream of my entire life, and I'm caught up. I'm in heaven. And as I'm in heaven, it was a massive, it looked like a soccer stadium, but it looked like about 50 soccer stadiums. It looked like it was about 20 miles long and about 10 miles wide. I mean, it was just massive, and the crowds and everything else. And so as I'm there, I'm just stunned at where I am in this realm. And as I'm there, I went and my wife went running back past Susie, my wife. She ran past us on the field. She went, phew. I mean, I was like, wow, that woman can run. I had no idea she could run that fast. And she's running on this field, right? And as she is, the crowd begins to cheer. But it's so loud, you can't understand what they're saying. It's just that kind of sound. And the sound was so overwhelming, it literally knocked me over. And I look over my shoulder, and my mother-in-law, who was here last night, she was standing right next to me, and she says, "Tom, I wish I could cry, but I can't because this is heaven." And I look over her shoulder, and I can see. Sorry. Every time I talk about it. As I look over her shoulder, my wife is German. God bless her anyway. No, I'm just kidding. I'm teasing. Just pray for me. I'm Norwegian, so. My grandfather used to wear a hat that said, "I'm Norwegian, but I'm taking pills for it." And so my wife is German, almost 100% German. And so as I look at my mother-in-law, when she says, I wish I could cry, but I can't because this is heaven. And I look over her shoulder and I can see the grandstands, you know, like a football game has the grandstands. And I look over her shoulder and I see her family, Susie's family, her mom's family, and I see these older folks. And then I start to see back generation after generation after generation. As it goes up each layer, I can see one person after another. And I see them, the one man in great detail. He just had a beautiful smile, and he had a top hat on and stuff. And it keeps going all the way until it blotted out the sun. You couldn't even see the sun behind it. There were so many people. And I was so overwhelmed in this. And so, anyways, several other things were happening, and I came back into my body in the dream. And when I came back into my body out of the dream, as soon as I did, my whole pillow was just soaked with tears. It took me almost 3 months to tell Susie the dream. I would just lose it like this. And I started talking about the dream, I can't. Because that realm of God, the Uranus, it was so real to me. It wasn't just in a book. It wasn't just in our Father who art in heaven. It was actually more real than this realm. And I began to describe these old folks and stuff. And the one man I described with this real funny hat and a real beautiful smile. And sure enough, Susie's mother pulls out a book. And there is this man who lived in Buffalo, Minnesota and had a revival in Buffalo, Minnesota. I don't know who this is for tonight. I'm supposed to tell you this. But there was a revival in Buffalo, Minnesota in the early 1900s. And it started by a bunch of people praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. How do you like that? Amen. I never told that part of the dream. Never. Never in my whole life have I ever told that part of the dream, ever. And I remember one time we were living in Florida. We were back home. It took me 3 months to tell her the dream. I would start to tell her the dream. And she would think, she's like, "Am I going to die?" I'm like, "No, that's not what the dream is saying, okay? That's not what the dream is about, you know?" And so I just realized, now listen to me, I realized that I understood that scripture when Jesus said, "The Son of Man who is in Uranus." I am both here and there at the same time. Jesus moved between these two realms just absolutely effortlessly. Come on, amen. And that's what happens with us. We move in and out of that realm. You know, every miracle, every sign and wonder, every prophetic word, you grab from that realm. Come on, somebody. And you give it to somebody here. Come on. Amen. And so when I came back, I remember one time we were in the grocery store. They don't have Cub down there. They have what they call Publix. And so here I am in the grocery store. And so I'm walking through the aisles. I'm looking at the onions. And all of a sudden, you know, Susie goes, "Okay, quick, tell me the dream." And I just lose it in the grocery store. I had to leave the grocery store because I was crying so hard. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I go, "You can't do that to me. You can't just creep up on me like that." I mean, for months, even to this day, if I start on the dream, I just, because it was so real, I was actually, you have to understand, I was actually there. But listen, what I realized was this. If you don't hear anything tonight, listen, all your relatives are there now cheering for every single one of you. John G. Lake is cheering for you. Catherine Kuhlman's cheering for you. They don't get to pray for one more, listen to me, they don't get to evangelize one more person. They don't get to win one more soul. They don't get to lay hands on one more sick person. Smith Wigglesworth doesn't get to cast out any more demons. It's your turn. You're on the field. You're the one that's on the field. This is your chance. And so many people can't wait. I can't wait to get out of here. I can't wait to get to heaven. I want to get out of here. Listen, I don't want to get there and bring no fruit. I want to bring so much fruit. Come on, how many of you want to bring fruit with you? Come on, somebody, amen. I want to bring fruit. I want to bring lambs with me there. Come on, how many of you want to bring lambs with you, young lambs, amen? And we're going to only do it by partaking of that realm and giving it away and giving it to other people. So fast forward. The man in the video, in 2013, he passed away and went to heaven. And I had to go do his funeral. The guy in the video, the pastor, yeah, he's in heaven. December 2013. So, Christmas Eve, I think it was, he went to be with Jesus. So, I went, his wife called and asked that I would come and do the funeral and then preach for them on Sunday because they were just a mess. So, I said, okay, I'll come. And he was my best friend in the world. So, I went, and that was the hardest ever to be at the grave of a prophet. That was heavy duty. And so then I had to preach that Sunday, and then I flew right back home. And so I flew back home, and about 5 weeks later, I have a dream. Now, you had to know him. He was a real funny guy. He was a hippie from the 70s, all right? He used to have a big peace sign and stuff and long hair and had to, yeah, he was a funny guy. You just had to know him. And he loved old churches. He was very mystical and stuff like that. Very, very mystical guy, you know? And but he loved old churches. So I have a dream 5 weeks later. And I'm in the basement of a church, and I'm walking around. How many of you ever saw the movie Titanic? Just raise your hand. Anybody? Okay, you remember the big spiral staircase? That was connecting heaven and earth in my dream. And it was a light over it. And I was in a realm that wasn't completely in heaven, but I wasn't completely on earth. I was kind of straddling the two worlds. And we were in this what looked like a Gothic church basement. And we're walking around. And I see him. And I said, prophet. And I grabbed him. And I started crying. And I said, what is heaven like? And he says, you want to know what heaven's like? I said, yes. He goes, just like your dream in 2008. I get drunk in the spirit. I'm like, stop. You can't talk about the dream. Don't talk about that dream. It's too holy. I can't talk about it. I'll lose it. I'll be drunk in the spirit. And I won't even know anything you're saying. God's honest truth. That's what I said in the dream. And he laughed. He goes, well, that's what it's like. He said, except for no limitations. So we start walking around. Now listen. So as we're walking around in this realm, we're walking around. So as we're walking around, he starts to tell me things that there's no way in the natural I could know. Because I went and I came back and I preached it that Sunday. And I preached it on television. And his wife saw it and she bawled her eyes out because she said, all of it's true. And she said, there's no way Tom could know any of those personal details because not even my children know it. And so anyways, long story short, he gave me a personal message for the family. And then we sat down. And so as we sit down in this realm of God, he goes, he just had to know him. He was the most unreligious guy I ever knew in my life. Oh, my God, Jesus, help me. I'm non-religious, but this guy, wow. So we sit down. Here we are in heaven. And he goes, hey, can you turn the TV on? I said, what? He goes, hello, I'm a spirit. He goes, I can't do that now. Could you put the TV? And so you just had to know him, okay? So it just he was just really bizarre like that. And so I'm like, wow, he hasn't even changed in heaven. Dear Lord. I'm like, wow, God, this is crazy, you know. I don't even know how to do this theologically, you know. And so I'm sitting there. And so we're talking. And as we're talking, I look up. Now, well, listen. There were other people that started walking around this loop that started to appear and disappear. Almost like, I don't like it, but almost like Star Trek. They began to start to partially appear and disappear, and I could see portions of them. Now listen, was a prayer meeting where they were praying in the spirit. And the more they prayed in the spirit, the more they appeared in that other realm. And this lady pastor is walking, praying in the spirit, and she looks over and she sees me. She goes, "Hey!" And the lady next to her grabbed her shirt and pulled her, and she disappeared and went back in the natural. Come on, somebody. So when you pray in the spirit, guess where you are appearing? You are appearing in that other realm. Come on, somebody. Amen. Come on. Come on, look at your neighbor, say, "Pray more in the spirit." Man, I'll tell you what, man, listen, this is a holy moment tonight, man. I got goosebumps on my goosebumps. I don't even know what I'm going to say next. So I'm like, "God, what are you going to say next?" I have no idea what I'm going to say next. But I just feel like this is a holy moment in God. And I got to say this, Pastor Bob, I just feel like some of those people that are standing behind you in that heavenly realm, I just feel that they're people that you didn't even know if they made it to heaven. I don't know who that could be. But people that you know in your family that you say, "I don't know where they are with God. I just felt like God said, tonight's your confirmation." Yeah, tonight's your confirmation. They're there. Come on, somebody. Ooh. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. Sorry. Ooh, I start getting drunk at the spirit and I just lose it. All right. Jesus, help me get through this sermon here, all right? Just give me a few minutes. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. How many of you ever saw the movie Gladiator? Okay, I'll be honest with you. Tonight, I was wrestling with sharing this tonight. I wasn't going to share this, seriously, because to me, it's such a holy thing. I just didn't want to cast pearls to the swine. Is that okay, Jesus say? No, I'm not saying you're a swine. I'm just saying, no, listen, I didn't want to throw something holy out that would not be received. And so I really, honest to God, I was really going to change. I really wasn't going to share this because this is really serious. My wife's only heard me sharing this once ever. And so this is really, to me, is a really a holy thing, you know, and I wasn't going to share this tonight. And then, you know, people don't realize they're led to the Spirit. Listen, the sound guys were led to the Spirit. What did they do? They put that video up there. And did you see the moving through the grass, just like Gladiator when he went into heaven? You remember that in the movie? The exact same scene. And when I saw that, I'm like, "All right, Lord, I got to do it tonight then." Hallelujah. So Ephesians chapter 2, last scripture, all right? Praise God. I pray you're stirred up tonight. I wrote something down here. Listen to this. John G. Lake said this. If hell has a characteristic, it's that of distraction. I'll say it again. If hell has a characteristic, it's that of distraction. If heaven has a particular characteristic, it's the presence of God, the calm of God, the power of God, and the love of God. Come on, amen. Isn't that good? I got to read it again. That's just a wow. If hell has a characteristic, it's that of distraction. But if heaven has a particular characteristic, it's the presence of God, the calm of God, the power of God, and the love of God. Thank you, Jesus. So Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, who once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who's rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he's made us alive together. And by grace you have been saved. And you've raised us up together. Watch us. And you've made us sit together. Now, not asked us, but you made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, stop. Notice many of your Bibles, the word places is italicized. In the literal Greek translation, it actually says, and he has made us to sit in God's realm. It's the same word, heaven. as our Father who art in heaven. So according to God, you are already seated in heaven. Come on, somebody, amen? You are already in that position and in that realm or in that place called heaven in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he may show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God beforehand prepared that we should walk in them. So here God says this. What does he say? Listen, we're seated with him in that heavenly realm. We're seated with him in heaven. Some of you are wondering, does my relatives know what I'm doing right now? Some of you, your mothers, your fathers, your brothers, maybe sisters or cousins or maybe children or whatever it might be. Do they see me? Do they know what I'm doing? You know, let me just tell you, I got a message from heaven for you. They're cheering you on tonight. This is a message for Elk River tonight. They're cheering you on right now. Come on, somebody. Every single one of you, some of you, your relatives, you have relatives there. I see an older man, old man, he died as an old man, stands behind you and he cheers you on. I see his right hand on your right shoulder. Thank you, Jesus. Many of you, if you've had relatives and friends and stuff like that, and I'm telling you right now, God's got them there in that realm. And guess what they're doing right now? They're praying for you. They're not praying that you get a better job or a nicer car or a nicer house. Come on. They're praying that you'll do eternal things. Come on. Every one of them are praying that you'll do eternal things. Come on, somebody. Amen. So just right now, all over the house, just stretch your hands just quickly, all right? Just stretch your hands toward heaven right now. Thank you, Father. Right now, all of us have relatives and friends and colleagues and people that we know and grandparents or whatever it might be. Some of you, your parents right now are cheering at the top of their voice because you got the message tonight from that other side. And they're there right now, and they're just cheering. They're shouting as loud as they physically possibly can. And right now, from that other realm, they're just crying out, and they're saying, God, use her. God, use him. God, use them. Let them not waste their lives on the world, Lord. Let them not waste their lives on just the busyness of life and waiting for Social Security, waiting to just retire, waiting to just, you know, fish off a dock. But, Lord, tonight they're all shouting at the top of their lungs right now, do it. Heal the sick, cast out demons, prophesy, raise the dead, evangelize, share Jesus, pull people out of the flames of hell itself. Even now, right now, they cheer for you right now. And even as you have one foot over there and one foot over here, God is just saying this, just yield to the Spirit. Just yield to the Spirit. Just let that milk become meat by doing something. Doing something this week, this night, whatever it might be. Listen, some of you may not, who knows, you know? Some of you, who knows when you're going to go and be with Jesus? I'll tell you what, I don't want to go unless I've done everything that I'm supposed to get done in this world. Come on, somebody. I want to give everything I have. Come on, somebody. I want to leave everything on the field. I don't want to leave anything off of the field. I tell you what, listen, when you get to heaven, you can't pray to be used again. You can't prophesy anymore when you get to heaven. There's no more evangelizing your neighbor when they're there. It's too late. It's over. Your time's done. Amy Simple McPherson doesn't get to do it one more time. They wish they were. John Lake wishes he was here. Smith Wigglesworth, William Branham, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, all of these guys, Marie Woodworth Eder, they say, man, I wish I was on the field just one more day. God, just if I could do one more time, just give me one more service. I'm telling you, God's just tonight just challenging every person in this building right now. If you just begin to say, Lord, use me. Come on, you just talk to God right now. Just begin to ask the Lord tonight. Oh, Lord, just fill me up tonight that I may be used for your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.